I'd like to start with a verse in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Matthew starts what's called Sermon on the Mount, probably the most recognized sermon ever. The 5th verse, it said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." For years, I'll be honest with you, I never could really grasp that scripture very well. This is very, very common scriptures. Read them many times. I can think of a number of times that we've went through them one after another in Bible studies or Sunday schools or whatever, but I never really could grasp very much that scripture. And I think what threw me, maybe I'm different than everybody else, but what threw me was this inherit the earth part. Be honest with you, I really don't know who would want it. Or at least in a spiritual sense, that's what I was always thought of, that being of the earth. And I never can really get my mind about it. I could get the blessed, joyful. That word means happy. Happy, it means contentment. You're blessed. The good things of your life are coming here. I get that. Everybody would want that. Everybody seeks for that. They're misguided. They reach for the wrong things, but nobody wants to be cursed. Nobody wants the bad things in life. Nobody wants to be unhappy. Nobody wants to have those days that nothing goes right. It seems like everything goes, you know, those days. Nobody likes those days. I have them from time to time in the natural. But nobody wants that. Everybody wants things to go well in their life. Well, happy are those. Happy are the meek. I can get the meek, understand that. Happy are the gentle. Happy are those that don't stir up trouble everywhere they go. Happy are those that have a quietness about them, a quietness about their lives. I can get the understanding of the meek, those that give up maybe their rights for quietness. It's better to be peaceful. I understand that. One of the commentators, I think, mentioned that there was an old English word that fit this really well, that don't mean it so much anymore, but the meek meant a gentleman. Gentleman. Gentleman used to mean something. Now it just means whoever, probably, but it used to mean a gentleman. Meek, being a meek person. I understand that. I can understand the value of being meek, but I never could understand that he would inherit the earth. That somehow, that I would have in my mind that somehow, that if that those meek people, that they would somehow, some way, be an authority over the earth, or somehow that have earth, and I never quite could get my mind wrapped around what maybe this means. But it has a wonderful meaning to it. It means not the earth, but if you would think of it in this way, we'll inherit your land. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit their portion, or their land, or their promise. What God has intended for you, this is the way to get it. Do you know that God, I believe this today, I believe that God is so awesome and so knowing that He knows all. They say that the earth's population is pushed 7 billion now. And I believe that God is awesome enough to know every person. Not only know every person, but in the great heart of God, everybody's plan is in His heart. Everyone's portion has already been determined in God's great heart. Your land today has been determined. In the great heart of God, He has a place for you that's peculiar to you, special to you. A place that your greatest desires would be fulfilled, your greatest happiness would be fulfilled within the realms of what God has made for your life. I believe that. And God wants us, every one of us, to inherit what He has for us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, the land, what God has given us. Over in Numbers, the 14th chapter, I want to go to something else, I think, first. No, that might be it. Let's go ahead and read it. 31. I'll go to 30. It says, "Doubtless ye shall not come unto the land concerning which I swear to make you to dwell therein, save Caleb the son, Caleb and Joshua, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised." Now this scripture came from the time that the children of Israel had came up to the promised land. God had given, by promise, the children of Israel a land. And God not only gave it to a nation, but He had in His great heart that every member of that nation would have a portion of that land, that they would have a place. After all of those years, 400 years of being in slavery to the Egyptians in the land of Goshen, there God had made a promise that He was going to take them to a land of milk and honey, and take them to cities that they didn't build, and going to have them be a partaker of vineyards that they didn't plant, and He was going to take them and give them by the promise. They was going to inherit a land. And He wanted these people to have faith in God. And the whole story was that they was down there in this land of Goshen under the Egyptians' rule, under a hard taskmaster in type of sin. They was doing what it demanded of them to do and living in that kind of a place. And God, desiring to bring them out of there, brought them out with a mighty hand. But He wanted to do something with them before He done. And in the process of bringing them out of there, He confounded all the gods of the Egyptians, confounded them all, and brought the Egyptians out of the land of bondage in a mighty hand. And He showed them great miracles of God, did He not? The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night that led them. They went to the Red Sea, and by a mighty hand, God split the Red Sea, and they crossed on dry land. And the Egyptians, attempting to do that, drowned in the sea. And they got over and sang the song of deliverance. And of most God blessed them to come out, but He wasn't through. God had a heart for them. He had a mind for them. And in type, it's what God has for us. But He had something planned for them that was beyond that. Just first, He had an experience for them. He had a land, a place that they could call home. You know how important it is to have that? Every one of us in here today has somewhere that you call home, don't you? Is it special to you? Is it where you find your most comforting times? Is it where when you go there, when you can go nowhere else? You go there when you're tired. You go there to get strength back. You go back there. Isn't that, don't you have your places? Isn't that important? It is to me. And it is important to us. And God has that for us. He had it for these people. They didn't have that, and He wanted them to have it. So He brought them out with a mighty hand. And He brought them to the place that He wanted them to have faith. And He gave them all the reasons to have faith. He showed them who He was, that He was God Almighty. He taught them by the hand of Moses. They saw miracles. And He wanted them to have faith in God. faith in God to receive, to humble themselves before God and receive what God had have for them. They didn't have to do great things. They didn't have to think. They didn't have to be as smart as Einstein. They didn't have to be as strong as Samson. All they had to do was believe in God and step into their promise. Well, he brought them to that place and led them to the place. And you remember the story. They got to that place and they sent over the spies to spy out the land. 12 of them, I believe, went to spy out the land. And they came back with their report. 10 of them comes and says, it's just as they said. It's flowing with milk and honey. And there's great fruits there. Surely it's like it was told. But there's giants there in the land. And there's we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And great walled cities. And they have armor. And they're big and they're mighty. And we're not able. We can't go in there and get it. And that caused a great turbulence, did it not, in the people? Because I think in their minds they wanted home. The promise. I think they thought that we're going to stroll in here. God gave it to us and it's ours. And therefore there's nothing for us to do. There was something for them to do. They needed to have faith in God. Believe in God. There was two that said, it's true. Just like they said. It's a land of milk and honey, full of great fruit. And we are as grasshoppers in their sight. And the cities are strong and walled. And they're great fighting men. But we're well able. we're well able to get what God promised for us. Folks, I wonder today that we don't come up short of what God promised for us in our lives. Because God has for every individual, I believe, a full life. God has for everyone a lot. If you will, in the kingdom of God, you have a lot made for you. In that lot is your callings, your blessings, your peace, your hope. Everything is in that land that God gave you. In there is the fulfillment. Naturally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, everything's in the land that God gives you. And He wants you to have that land and hold that land. God gave it to you. And that's what that scripture is really talking about. Blessed are the meek, those that are willing to humble themselves down. Gentle, quiet, those that will get in the heart of God and receive the inheritance by faith that God has for them. Not the earth, not the things of the earth. This earth's going to perish. This earth's going to burn up. We ain't inheriting that. We're inheriting the land, our promise. God's got a promise for us in this life. God's given us a promise. I believe this. God's given us a promise. Yes, there's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. But He's given us a promise of a peaceful and a quiet habitation. He's given us a promise of good things in our life. We need to lay hold of that. Lord, help us. If it takes meekness, help me to be meek. Help me to be quiet. A quiet confidence in God would have gained them the land. There was two that had it. And that's where the scripture came in that he said, but your little ones, which ye said should be prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. The despising there wasn't in the idea that they said, oh, we hate that land over there, it's no good. The despising was that they didn't put enough value on it to go get it. Again, it's not just an inactive thing. But it's a pursuit of something that's valuable. Of all the things that I can look at and say, I want that. I've known of people that had the wants real bad. They was never satisfied because they was always wanting from one thing to another. I want that vehicle. Now I want this one. And now I want new clothes. Now I want new shoes. Now I want another new car, and I want a house, and now that I want another, and I want. But of all the things that we can want, we ought to want the inheritance. We ought to want God. We ought to want what God. Lord, what do you have for me in my life? Because there is a land that God has given every one of us. It has parameters. There's places that is not mine. I've run into some of those places before. It's not mine. I don't own that. That's another brother's. Another brother's calling. There's callings that I run into. I'll be honest with you that I would say I like to have that. But I don't have it. I can ask the Lord to expand my boundaries, but I don't own that. Somebody else owns that. I've got mine, though, and within my boundary is blessed. Within my calling, folks, stuff works. God puts His hand on my callings. That's mine. That's part of my land. And you know, I find out that wherever God calls for that, it's blessed. It works. I don't have to push or shove or try to do anything within that because it's God's inheritance to me and it works. And it's blessed. And God has a place for every one of us. He has a place of a calling. And oh, how we ought to covet and want that. And when somebody, when it's challenged, we ought to put it up first and say, I'm not going to lose my inheritance. I'm not going to give up what God has given me. Because that's valuable. Salvation is our inheritance. Peace is our inheritance. Righteousness is our inheritance. Unity is our inheritance. We have an inheritance today. A land that God wants to give us. Over in 1 Kings... I'll start with the first verse. It says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. It meant it was bordered. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. All right? Sounds like a fair enough offer, don't it? That just sounds like normal dealings. Listen, you got some land over here, and it's right by my land. It borders my land. It would be great profit for me to expand my borders out, and I got use for that. I can plant me a garden over there. So, Naboth, I want to get you, would you give me this? You give me this, and I'll give you a better one. I'll find you one of your choosing, and I'll give it to you, and I'll give it to you, and it'll be a better one than you got. Or, if it pleases you, I'll make a price. And I'll give it to you in money. Sounds all real fair and everything. If you just look at it on the surface for that, it was fine. I don't see any evil or any problem in it at all. But Naboth had something more about this. Rather than getting into just the law of what maybe the Lord said, think of the idea of it. Naboth had got something by inheritance. It had been handed down to him. God's the one. I think the psalmist said one time something about let my lines fall unto me in pleasant places. speaking of the dividing of the land. And Lord, you choose where my land is. You choose the lines, the boundaries of my land. Let it fall in pleasant places or places that is best for me. Naboth, God of vineyard, and this was his answer. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to thee. Now that puts an end in my mind to the conversation. Which I think is incredible because he could have got a better vineyard. And no, he couldn't have. Maybe in the natural he could have. Maybe he could have ended up with more land. But Naboth, looking beyond that, said, the Lord forbid it of me. See, the Lord had made the parameters of my life. I was born to parents that had this land, not that other. He looked at it as something that you and I should look at too. We have an inheritance in the saints. We have an inheritance of godly calling. We have an inheritance of good things and right things. Of modesty and decency is our inheritance. Lord, help us to hold our inheritance in the parameters that we have because it's of God. God forbid that we let it go. God forbid that we remove the ancient landmarks that were set and established in these things because they're right and they're good. And Lord, help us. We have some boundaries. Thank God for the boundaries. No, King Ahab, you can't have it. God forbid it of any price. How high does the price go? Where would Naboth have said, okay, I'll get rid of it. You know what Naboth said? No. There is not an amount of money. They're in a better vineyard somewhere. They're in something that's is better for me in my life than what God chose for me in my life. Oh, young people, if the devil's ever come and said, why me? Why did I have to be born into this thing? Why? I know there's been a challenge that way. Thank God that you were. And that you got some boundaries in some places. So Naboth, you know this story. It says, and Ahab came to his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? Now, I want you to just think of this a minute. How would you like to have a king with this disposition? He don't get a little bit of land, so he's crying on his bed. Man up! Man up! It wasn't your inheritance. Do you know Ahab had one too? And he was king. God allowed him to be king. God, he had a boundary. He coveted somebody else's lot, somebody else's space. It wasn't going to make him happy. God had something for him. And here he is, whining, and he got to heaven. What trouble he caused. What a bad place to be in there. Ahab. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess their land. They shall possess their promise. That's going to be the happy ones. Well, you know the story. Jezebel says, are you king or not? Then she says, I'll tell you what you do. Well, they had a scheme there, and he got the land. He got his land. You think he was happy? He was miserable, wasn't he? You know that spirit never left Ahab? Ahab went on, and you remember the story where he said, oh, I've got to go up and get, what was it, Gilead. Ramoth of Gilead. Got to go get it. So he said, oh, let's ask the prophets. Prophets come in and said, oh yeah, go get it, go get it. I think the other king says, wait a minute, is there no one else here? Yeah, there's one other prophet, but he always prophesies bad against me. Well, let's get him. Sure enough, did it too. You know what ended up happening to him? He went up there against the word of the Lord. He went up there He didn't come back. The word had prophesied against him. This was Ahab. But Ahab had the same chance that everybody has to be able to inherit his land, to be able to be happy, to be content, to have the good things of life. He had it. But he had lust and he went over that. He was no gentleman. He wasn't meek. He pushed over that. And he caused great heartache to those that are around him. Lord, help us to be meek and to inherit what God has for us. He's got a wonderful, wonderful heritage for us. A wonderful place of our own habitation that we, as the people of God, can gain it and get everything God has for us in this life. That the callings of God would be in our midst. That I believe that there's God's wanting more. I think God has it for us. I think there is more work that needs. I think there needs to be more workers, and I think they're here. I think God's got it. He wants us to get it by inheritance. He wants us to get in that place. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. To surrender ourselves to God's what gets it. The meek means to humble down, to get meek, quiet, lowly. Let God work to get it into our lives, to be able to say, Thy will be done, Lord. I'll accept the parameters of my land. Help me to say, yes, I'll accept that in my land. What's in there in part of that land may be for you a calling that the church needs. And sometimes I wonder how little value we put on our land. I've heard it debated before. Can a people be free without the right to own property? And the answer is no. If you don't have a right to personal property, you can't be free. And God gives us personal property. This belongs to you. And I wonder how much we value what God and where God and what God has made us. Because it's very valuable. I mean, you may look and say, oh, Brother Marty from the mountains, he's got all that. And I'm not saying I'm not any more valuable than anybody else, but I know this, I'm valuable to God. God can take that of who He made me to be born to, of where I was born, of my disposition, of who I am as a person. God takes that and He can use it in His kingdom to glorify His kingdom. I tell you what God didn't give me. I have tried. I've worked. I still try. I still sing some. The best I can do is not very good. I don't have the gift, but some of you have it. The saints have been blessed with a musical ability, a singing ability. Don't despise your land. That is so valuable. If you only knew how much that really can touch somebody's life. If you only really knew what God does with it. If you want, study it. Find out. See how God used it in the past. See how God wants to use it with you. I you all know what I do. I go around full time in the work of the Lord. I preach. I go hold meetings. I do all those things. Do you know that our special singing, if it's not valuable, forgive me. But if it is valuable, listen. It's on a decline. It don't happen. So I've been in meetings over and over and again that if maybe a half a week's meeting, maybe a whole week's meeting to where special singing maybe happens once in the whole meeting and maybe twice. And sometimes it don't happen at all, Brother Carl. If it's not important, okay. But if it is important, listen a minute. It's part of your land. It's part of what God is giving you. You'll be happy if you inherit it. You'll be happy if you do it. You'll be happy if you give it out. It'll be fulfilling to you and everybody else, and the church will be better because of it. But it isn't only that. Can I tell you this? We get into a routine in our service, and I hope the folks at home don't mind me saying this, but we're so routine that I can about tell you who's going to pray about. Because there's these rare occasions where somebody else does, and it's such a blessing. And they're actually gifted, and they actually is powerful, and God actually anoints it. And it happens really rare. But it don't have to happen really rare. I'm not calling you to singing, and I'm not calling you to prayer. But God does. And God wants us to accept our land and not despise it. And know that's my perimeter, that I can pray. I can pray. Isn't prayer warriors and somebody that's gifted in public prayer a blessing to us? Maybe you've got it. And maybe you don't. I think the Lord would bless anybody that's got the heart to get up, and they don't have to be on tune to be blessed. But God can do better than that. And He does do better than that. And He gives people the gift of it. And so it's in harmony, and they can do it, and they can sing it, and God gives it. God can anoint things other than that, but God's got a plan and a way of doing it, and He gives the gift. Folks, if you've got that gift, I'm not saying to get up here and want to perform. I'm saying let the Lord lead you. Be willing to be led of the Lord. Get your songs to sing. And the Lord will bless it. Because it's a part of the land. We need more teachers. We need more preachers. We need more gospel workers. We need more exhorters in the spirit. Again, I'm not talking about wanting to perform or get up and take up time. I'm talking about the ability to exhort the Word of God, to be able to bring out with the least amount of words, not the most. A gift to be able to take the Scripture and to be able to give it out and quickly and edifying and be able to get to the point. Not long, drawn out exhortations that people go to sleep on. I'm talking about a gift. A gift. Folks, it's in the land. It's in the land that God has for His people. Brother Sammons had this gift of inspiring through prayer. And did anyone ever know anybody that just had the gift of that? Like that? He could come and pray, and it was like the Lord comes and is in there. You'll never know if you don't open your mouth in prayer. You'll never know where it's at if you're not willing to say, Lord, use me if you want to. When I got saved, I told the Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm holding on to that today. I told Him, He saved me, so I got my part to do. So whatever you want me to do, lead me in it. Lord, I'm not capable. I'm not able. But Lord, if you're able to get anything out of me, I'll let you have it. And I'm going to tell you, I've been embarrassed. I've been shy. I've been backward at times to do it. But I've still done it. Because I told the Lord I would. So there's a land that's valuable. And when something happens, I want us to be like Naboth was. When the old tempter comes and says, give me your land, and I'll give you something better. Young people, listen to me. He don't have anything better. He's a liar. The excitement of the world is not better. It'll fade on you and leave you old and wrinkled. It'll leave you wore out. That's what it'll leave you. Oh, I've got some excitement. Come on out here and drink a little and smoke a little and run a little. And it'll leave you wore out in bad health and dying. And it'll also leave your soul like a raisin all dried up and nothing live there. It's a lie to say, I'll give you something better. Naboth knew it and he said, I ain't going to take it. It wasn't just that mom and dad and I got a life here and I was raised here and I got memories here and there's good things happened around me. It's that God Almighty sent me here. And I'll live and die on my land. And I'll be happy to be here because God made my parameters from the big rock on the side of the hill down to the stream. It's mine. It's mine. And I can dig in the land. I can plant my plants and it grows and I know what it can do. And God blesses me here in my land. You know that's what that scripture in Matthew was talking about? Yes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit their land. I appreciated Naboth's attitude. I'm not going to give it up. I'm going to hold it. The children of Israel had a great opportunity to get their land. But he said, I'm not going to give it to you because you despised it. Do you know that they could have said, I believe it's what the Lord wanted them to do, is to say, you know what? He brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We crossed the Red Sea on dry land. He's led us. He's been a God to us. Lead us on, Lord. I surrender my pride, my unbelief. I become meek before the Lord. Lord, I am your servant. Lead me to the land that you want me to hold. Old Caleb came back and he had seen the land, didn't he? And he said, that's my land. Give me the mountain. Well, it took him some time to get there, but he come back some 45 years later. And he said, give me my land. I've been having to go with over here. But as my strength was then, so is it now. I'm able to fight. I'm able to strive. I'm able to conquer. Because God has laid my parameters. And in the heart of God, He intends for every one of us to be totally fulfilled within what He planned for us to be. No less, no more. The preacher isn't bigger than the lowliest follower. There isn't no better. That's their land. Within that place is where they're found the most content in life. There in that little place. Thank the Lord. Luke 19. In the 41st verse. It says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. That's a fearful thought. Is it possible to miss it and then never get back to it? Well, most definitely. We just was in the story that it happened. Not to all of them. They were still the faithful Caleb and Joshua and the children of those that had done it. But the Lord said, you'll never see it. He told them, the very thing that I planned for you, you forfeited it. Jesus saying here to them, if you had only known the thing that belonged to your peace. If you had only known, folks, oh, how that reverberates through my mind. When I see the young people that we have preached to and been at the altars with and the people that we've done that to, and when I see them forfeit that, when I see them forfeit a loving home, when I see them forfeit the righteous life and they give up the good things of God, and I see and know that their children are headed to disaster, their homes headed to disaster, their life's disaster, when I see that and know that they forfeited it and didn't know the things and never was able to find the things that belonged to their peace, to their comfort, to their satisfaction, to have a loving, peaceful place, a quiet habitation for their lives, a place where there's security, a place where they know that if they die, they're going to heaven, to where they have the love of God's people around them, where they've been a secure, safe place. It's a heartache. Jesus looked over this city, wept. Oh, Lord, why did you weep? Because he knew they forfeited all the good things of God. And now they're left to the device of Satan to destroy their life. Lord, help us today. This United States don't know what they forfeited. Our country is forfeiting the heritage of godly people that established a way of life. And they're forfeiting the things that belong. We are, as a nation, forfeiting the things that belong to our peace. Lord, weep for us. That we can find our land. That we can find the things that belong to our peace. That we can have the things that was meant to be for our satisfaction and for our life. What's the driving force? If this scripture being true, I think the opposite of meekness is pride and arrogance and self-will and self-determination. And I'll do it my own way. I'm hearing more and more of the most ridiculous things. I heard a little thing on the radio yesterday. I don't mean to speak badly of any people. But I heard yesterday a commentator was saying that the Pope recently, the Catholic head, the Pope, came out and said that there would be atheists in heaven. Well, they asked him to explain that, and his explanation was is that the pursuit of good, and anybody that does good. And the first thing I thought was, honestly, not being critical here, but I thought, read your Bible. Read the Word of God. Your goodness is not going to get you anything. Because it's like filthy rags in His sight. Without the blood of Jesus, you don't get it. You don't make it. The most ridiculous. How many things have we, as a nation, lost? I'm not saying I ever put anything to that, but I'm saying the most ridiculous things are becoming out more and more. And ungodly things and acceptance of ungodly things. And we're losing the things that belong to our peace. And then people are standing in wonderments of why it's a violent society. And a self-willed society. The opposite of meekness is arrogance and pride. Self-will. An inability to give up to God. An inability to say that I'm nothing. I'm nothing and I'm no better than anybody else. And that without God, I'm in trouble. And that's what the driving force of our nation is a pride and an arrogance against God. And a disbelief in God. Yeah. Lord, have mercy on us as a people. And I suppose that if that's not the case and the way it's going to be as a nation, I can say, have mercy on me as a person. Amen. Have mercy on us as a people. And help us that we wouldn't forfeit. If thou hadst known, even thou the least in thy day, the things which belong to thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eye. I believe that in every life choices are made. I think that it is almost impossible for you and I to project the result of a choice. And I think it's equally as difficult to go and look at the result and say where the choice was made many times. We don't know many times what produced this. What produced this? But to those that God gives insight and wisdom, wisdom being the ability to see an action and project what it will do. The wise man said, for instance, a little slumber, a little sleep will bring you to poverty. That was wisdom speaking. It knew that the action, the choice, would bring you to a certain result. We need God to help us to be able to do that. And if we're not careful, we go away from our land, our place that God wants us, choosing to despise it rather than embrace it, and say, this is what God intends for me. To you sisters especially, I want to say something. The calling of a godly mother has no superior. a preacher isn't superior than that. It is it's a high, high calling in God to be a godly mother in Israel, a godly mother to your children, a godly woman in this world. There is nothing higher than that to God. He values it highly. Don't allow the devil to come by in this age of feminism and tell you that you're doing something and you're losing your life. You're missing what you should be doing. Find your land. Find your place that God wants you to be. And all the happy fulfillment will be within it. Lord, help us be able to do that. Sometimes the devil comes by to our brothers and suggesting if they're working on the job, being faithful and being a good husband and doing those things, that maybe you ain't doing what? No! Seek for your calling, sure. But don't despise the day of little things either. Because God has a great hand. And God needs those things. And God will set you in your place and position. Be faithful there. Be faithful. And God will bless it. And God needs every bit of it to work His cause. If thou had known, and even in this, the least of thy days, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee around, and keep thee on every side. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. This is one of the most amazing things to me. Jesus predicted that. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote the account of the destruction of Jerusalem. He was not a believer. He was a Jew. And he wrote the history without the knowledge of this. And he wrote it exactly. It fits it exactly. The Lord's words that warned the people of God had warned that would happen, and it did. I think Titus was the general, the Roman general that did it, and it was his mind that the temple would not be destroyed. He even ordered it not to be destroyed. But God had already said that it would be. And even though the general in charge told his men not to do it, it happened anyway, and it was completely destroyed, to the account, I believe, of Josephus, that when it was all said and done, that they actually plowed the foundations of it up. And there literally was not one stone setting on another one. But I'm going to ask you, in the Lord's words, is that really what He wanted? You don't know the things that belong to your peace. But because you rejected your habitation, the habitation of God, the boundaries, the parameters, because you did and went outside of that and didn't accept what the Lord made for them. He said many different times that I come to the lost sheep of Israel. He come to His people, and they rejected Him. And they didn't know what belonged to their peace. And that's what ended up happening. If I may say, in the individual life, it happens all the time. If I may use an analogy of this, of that temple being the very center and affection of worship. In the hearts of people that reject God, how many times when they reject that and reject the good things of God, does it end up being a total destroying of that until there's hardly any place to build a foundation of, or for God to be able to work and speak because of what they do and their choices? Oh, what a fearful thing. I'm going to close with a favorite scripture in Psalms. well, one of the favorites. There's a lot of scripture. 91st Psalm. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It takes a little humbling, takes a lot of humbling. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall sit under the wings of the Almighty in a protected place. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand." Oh, as our world goes, oh, there's so much just falling. But he says, "But it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes," see, not an experience. Only with my eyes, we see what's happening to the world. We see what's happening to those that reject God. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God."
That's right.
The scripture says that righteousness exalteth the nation. True. But a sin is what? A reproach to any people, to all people. "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold the sea and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, my land, where I dwell." Made the Most High in God. In God's where I live. There's where I make my decisions. In God. Not in all these things that are going on out there. In God. Appreciated the message last night so much to hear the voice of the Lord. Hear the voice of the Lord. There was a debate or a thought out there and wondering about television. I want to tell you something about television right now. I told my wife when the whole thing was being talked about. I said, "I don't care what anybody decides. I don't want no television in my house. I wouldn't have one in here. I don't want those other voices talking to me. I don't want it. I wouldn't have it in there. I ain't saying that I haven't been passed by one or been somebody's home on Sunday and see what it was. I ain't saying that. I'm saying that that proves every time I do why I wouldn't. I wouldn't want it. And you know why? Because to be honest with you, I hear what it's saying. And it ain't saying what the Lord says. It isn't. It's saying nasty stuff. It's saying perverse stuff. It's saying go here, go there. It's saying get out of your land, I'll trade you. Oh, you come out of there and I'll give you something. Oh, it'll be something.
That's right.
I don't want that something. And I don't, you know what? We talked about it many times, me and my wife have. I don't want to change the environment of my home. I don't want to be everybody sitting around glued to it. I don't want the attention on it. I don't even want it over. We got too much distractions now. Way too much. I don't want, if you think that was bold, it's just the way it is with me. I choose it for my life. It isn't that they made some decision a long time ago to me. It's what's made sense with me. And I've seen it too much to know that it ain't right. What comes across it is not right. I don't want it. It's my choice. I'm not living in that kind of a habitation. God's made some boundaries for me. It goes from the big rock up on the mountain. Now, you all say flat if you like it that way, but to me, I'm with Caleb. Give me that mountain. When there's a real clear stream runs off of it back there, and there's this nice, I know what it is, and it's beautiful to me. See? It's mine. It's God. That in the natural, I do love the mountains and the streams, but in me, it's God. Refreshing, exhilarating, hopeful, blessed, a place of hope. A place to get answers to questions. A place to give peace and joy around in my home. To be able to meet. There's only no better feeling to me than to be sitting on an old snowy night with the children around. We got a fire in the fireplace and the children around. And it was a peaceful habitation. Where I love, they love, we all love. There's no cheating. There's no hatred. There's no bitterness. Now, I got children. There's always bickering. But you deal with that life, but it's joyful.
Yeah.
It's the habitation of God.
Yeah.
I choose it, Lord. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Oh, there's victory here, folks. There's an ability in your land to tell the devil that he don't belong there. There is a power and an authority in my land that God gives me in my land to tell the devil to go. This is God's land for me. And you have no right here. The scripture says, I think Jesus said, the prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. No place here. It's my land. You have no right here. Give me that land where I can step on the serpents, where I can trample on the lions and the adders and the snakes. I can trample on them. Got victory there. See, it's my land.
Yeah.
I get out of that land onto his land. Anything can happen. But in my land, God give me.
Right.
Guess what? There's an old saying about being king of your own castle. God gave me kingship over my land.
That's right.
That means I rule over some things. No, I ain't saying I'm talking about my wife. I'm talking about the spiritual things that go on. Folks, I'm going to tell you, people have lost their spiritual authority for their land and allows all kind of things to encroach upon them. That's true. Because thou hast set love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You pray for me.